WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers in the House are set to take up the Senate's version of the president's so-called Big Beautiful Bill today. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a social media post, President Trump had a message for House Republicans. Stay united, have fun, and vote yay.
It's back to work for jurors in Sean Combs' trial. They told the judge they could only reach a partial verdict after getting stuck on a racketeering count. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
There's a lot of decisions here, whether they committed kidnapping, arson, obstruction of justice, witness tampering, and then, of course, the other underlying sex trafficking and transportation to engage in prostitution charges.
Brian Koberger set to enter a guilty plea today in the murders of four University of Idaho students. CBS's Carter Evans is in Boise.
The terms of the plea deal are that he's basically going to get life in prison, and it would be four consecutive life sentences.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Today, lawmakers will continue working on the budget deal. The original goal is to send it to the full legislature today. The deal cuts income taxes by $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites, increases funding for the UW system, raises fees to pay for transportation projects, and adds new payments to child care providers as a critical government program ends. Republicans are happy to come to an agreement. Co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican Mark Bourne.
It's a compromise, right? We worked with the Gov, we worked with some other folks in the Senate side, and I think we're just continuing that work. We had some different ways that we approached it this time, and with any compromise, there's things to like and there's things to dislike.
Democratic State Senator Kelda Roy says although it's bipartisan, that doesn't make it a win.
We see a budget that was incredibly harmful, made slightly less harmful by Democratic input. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have less harm, but nonetheless, this is a far cry from what we need and what we deserve. The so-called tax cuts that are being touted by the majority party amount to a couple of dollars per pay period for an average middle-class family. That's going to be totally wiped out by the property tax increases.
The plan also includes measures to close Green Bay Correctional in 2029.
Plans in the Department of Corrections to make sure that we right size and innovate in that area for the future, and also make sure that we close Green Bay Correctional.
But Roy says there are no guarantees.
Republicans just threw it right in the garbage and are now doing this trick again to put it in this very fancy lockbox where it's never going to happen. It is a phantom. It's a total mirage. There's nothing that we're doing in this budget that's going to allow Green Bay to be closed.
After it passes both chambers of the legislature, the budget will go to Governor Tony Evers. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, Civic Media News.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple of years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money. But that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy in Miles Turner who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there. But this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for our special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning, 8:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 2nd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson over in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by. We'll have Melissa Baldoff a little later this hour with Climate Check. All about keeping the cows comfy and cool while still having solar farms going up around Wisconsin. We'll tell you how they can actually accomplish both things. Brittany Merlot is off today, so keep an eye, or keep an ear, I guess I should say, on your local Civic Media station for your local forecast as we head through the end of the week. We will have a regular show tomorrow, and then on Friday we'll have a best of show. And we didn't get to hear from Melissa Kay today, but if you have not caught up with Pigeon Quest with Melissa Kay, you're going to want to listen to Friday's show as we recap what has brought us to the point of her almost having possession of a rescue pigeon that she wants to adopt. From the text line, Jim in Brookfield, another good guest, Pat, referring to our conversation on the transgender policy for the WIAA. Jim writes, "It's always amazing what can be learned when people actually do some research and learn the facts, as opposed to making blind assumptions based on a knee-jerk executive order." Conversely, on the text line, Tom from Hartford says, "Sadly, the longer the left hangs on to this, the longer the left will lose close elections. Regular people will never warm up to this. Please see reality." Tom, I love that you're a listener, but here's your lecture. You please see reality and stop referring to yourself as a regular person. There are plenty of regular people out here that don't look like you, don't love the same people as you, and also don't get on their high horse about who's regular and who's not. Some people are willing to lose elections to stand up for what's right. The Pledge of Allegiance ends with liberty and justice for all, not just for the regular people. All right, let's bring in Earl Ingram, and we're going to start, unfortunately, on a bit of a down note on things happening in the Milwaukee area with the shooting death of a Milwaukee police officer, and just the blow that that deals to a community anytime, but this officer in these circumstances as well. Earl, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine, but again, we have not had a chance to talk about this case yet. I'm glad you're here for this so that we can properly convey, you know, what happened in this case. And sadly, this is something that has become all too familiar as we, you know, continue to allow guns to run rampant on our streets. Can you give folks around the state just kind of an overview of what happened the other day?
Well, you know, a much beloved officer, Mr. Kendall, Officer Kendall Corder, and Christopher McCray, two young officers who have dedicated their lives to service in the city of Milwaukee, and very well loved and known in the community, a young man who grew up in the city of Milwaukee and then made the decision to join the force and do great work. A lot of great work in, you know, building bridges. And so when I say much beloved officers, they were every bit of that. And so they worked with a lot of young children, and certainly when people saw them, they were much beloved. I know when I was a young man, we used to know the officers who were in our community as they were a part of the fabric of the community. These young men recreated that in their stint with Milwaukee Police Department. And, you know, a wayward young man, Tremaine Jones, 22 years old, got into a situation where he and his girlfriend, he was unfaithful. And this just goes to show the insanity that goes on in this nation and the impact of having so easily accessibility to guns. Tremaine Jones apparently was unfaithful to his girlfriend, and, you know, and she called, you know, some people that she knew to basically go after her boyfriend for being unfaithful. He brings a gun. The guy that she calls brings a gun, and they begin to shoot it out. You know, I mean, the Wild Wild West, OK Corral, all of that insanity that happens, unfortunately, too often in this country. And that situation escalated. And so the police were called, as what happens normally in a situation like that. And they come and they, you know, we're talking about dark. They can't see. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, people point to, they ask them about where the shots came from, and they point to the alley. And Tremaine Jones, a 22-year-old with a, you know, criminal record, is hiding in the bushes. He had fired his weapon at the other guy. And he claims, again, Tremaine Jones, that he heard them coming through the alley. He thought it was the guy he had shot at who had shot at him. And he, you know, shot 16 times at these officers. And, you know, with a high-powered weapon that nobody should have on the street. And unfortunately took the life of, you know, this officer, Kendall Corder. And I'll tell you, man, I've lived through a lot of these things, but our community is taking this harder than I think I ever recall them taking a law enforcement officer losing his life.
No, because, again, when we look at every other developed nation on earth, you know what? They have infidelity. They have love triangles. They have domestic disputes. What they don't have is such ready access that somebody feels like it's a good idea to wave at or even shoot guns at, you know, at an ex-girlfriend, at somebody that's trying to have a disagreement with you, and get into the situation where, you know, you think you're firing at somebody as if that's okay, but it actually turns out to be these officers instead. And again, the only foundation there is the guns and the prevalence of them. Everything else exists everywhere else in society. So let's not be blaming society. Let's blame that culture of people everywhere who just can't see that the resolution of this problem is to give up this worship of firearms.
Well, you're talking to a guy who is 70 years old, actually 71, who had never had a gun in his hand until about a year and a half ago that I went through the FBI training, you know, program. I was asked if I would want to do that, and for the first time in my life, I had a weapon in my hand. I would have never probably ever had one, and it went to my grave. My father never had weapons in the house, so I've never had them. My children have never had them, and my nieces and nephews likewise. I'm not opposed to guns. People have a right to guns, but what I am opposed to are laws like those that gun show loophole where people can sell guns to people like Tremaine Jones and not be held accountable. You know, if you're going to buy a gun from a licensed dealer, there's background checks and 48-hour waiting periods, but you can then take that gun and sell that gun to anybody you want to without any background. And that's how so many guns get into the hands of people like Tremaine Jones. That's what I'm opposed to. That legislation needs to change. And the easy accessibility to guns to even 14-year-old children in the community where I live, is that at some point in time, it's got to come to an end.
And when you talked about the number of shots that were fired, it brings up the prevalence of extended magazines that carry so many more bullets, and extended magazine was among the, you know, weaponry and accessories that were recovered from Jones and from others at the scene here. So, I mean, the evidence is clear of what it is that allowed this situation to get out of hand. So when this does, and you have, like you said, an officer who was so well regarded and is, you know, killed in the line of duty, where does a community go from there? You obviously, you have the funeral, you have the remembrance, and what can we do to just not let it fade away and forget until this happens again?
Well, that's the horrible thing about it. It will fade away. It will be forgotten until the next time. You know, it doesn't happen as often as it used to. But, you know, even one time is too much pain for a community that's already in pain to have to deal with, especially with the holiday coming up.
Yeah, especially with any holiday coming up and a long weekend for this family, for this officer. We're talking to Earl Ingram about stories that he's following in Southeast Wisconsin. Got 3 minutes here until the break, and so let's change gears. Let's get just a little lighter here and talk about your thoughts on all the roster moves by the Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're going to take a break. Some of you folks will have a local update. Others will come back here and we'll talk about Attorney General Josh Call suing the Department of Education about, you know, the impact on mental health for our youth. That'll be after the break. But before we go to that break, again, lots of moves by the Milwaukee Bucks. What were your thoughts on that, Earl?
Well, you're talking to a guy who remembers when the Bucks first came to Milwaukee, and it really, nothing ever surprises me with the Bucks and the Bucks management. They are fearless. They don't ever stay pat. And I will tell you, the release of Damian Lillard and swallowing that $112 million is a sign of just how aggressive the Milwaukee Bucks are. It opens the door. The addition of Miles Turner, a great center. I mean, to replace Brooke Lopez, who wasn't mobile, with Miles Turner, who's also a great outside shooter, but a lot more mobile, is going to open the door for Giannis to do a lot more things. The re-signing of Gary Trent and Porter and others pencils the Bucks in now as somebody to be reckoned with in the coming season. A lot more athletic, a lot younger, and it's amazing what they've been able to do. They were just locked in with somebody with no draft choices, mm-hmm, and basically no future. The Bucks do a wonderful, wonderful job.
Yeah, they do. I mean, again, there were plenty of folks after this last first-round elimination were willing to say, well, that's it. You know, the full rebuilding is going to start. But, you know, rebuilding doesn't mean you tear the whole thing down. Let's consider this a really good remodel that's in the works here. So we've got Earl Ingram here that we're talking with. We'll continue that for some of you. Others will get a local update. And when we're all back together in about 15 minutes or so, we will talk to Melissa Baldoff with our climate check for this week. And later, James Kelly will talk about some of the stories he's covering for Civic Media across Northwest Wisconsin. This, of course, is all followed by Matt and Air on Air, coming up with Dan Schaefer at 9:30, and then just after 10 o'clock, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And then Todd Alba's on from 2 to 4 today, and you can join me there, along with Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project, joining Todd Alba at just after 2 o'clock this afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court decided in Buckley v. Valeo and Citizens United that unlimited money spent for campaigns equaled free speech and enabled the rise of super PACs, but it kept limits on certain types of spending by political parties. A case by Republicans heard in the High Court this fall tests those limits. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate. Such spending might include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. In 2025, those federal election commission limits were up to $127,000 for a U.S. House candidate and up to $4 million for a U.S. Senate candidate, calculated by voting age population. The GOP has long chafed at those limits, set in 1971's Federal Election Campaign Act. Citizens United and subsequent cases drove corporations and special interest donors to contribute their billions to super PACs, with which candidates theoretically can't coordinate. The Roberts Court has a track record of money as free speech decisions. Whether this merely shifts billions from super PACs to the national parties or opens up yet another floodgate of special interest influence is yet to be seen. The case will be heard next term. We have more details on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Wausau Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes, and we are continuing a conversation that I had yesterday. He came on by and had a chance to talk to the brand new athletic director at Wausau West High Schools. This started yesterday, B.J. Brandt, and I asked the former Warrior hockey coach, how much is he going to miss being on the ice, especially for those practices and being around the kids during those times?
I'm going to miss that immensely. I mean, the day-to-day, the locker room, the players, the relationships, like that stuff is, I mean, I guarantee I'm going to miss that. Like, there's no doubt about it. We have such a good group of kids in the program, and to be able to, you know, hand those kids off to the next person and the things we've been able to teach them over that time period. We talk a lot about life. We talk about how does this, what does this mean? How do we apply this to our lives? And I think that's a part of my message as an activities and athletic director is we're teaching life through sport and more teaching life through performance, whether that's, you know, the drama world where you're doing different performances, pop concerts, and things aren't going to go right and things are going to go right. Right. And what does that mean? And how do we teach life through those moments? And I think that's a big part of the message that I want to carry over from my coaching days and into the administrator role is to how do we continue to do that? Because that's the reality of what high school sports and sporting events and competitions and activities are all about is preparing these kids for life beyond high school.
What
as we go into the 2025-2026 school year, and obviously a few months ago there was a referendum that did not pass, and obviously that leads to a lot of questions. What's the state of play right now at West for athletics and activities? Are there additional challenges that you're hearing about? Because maybe some of the, you know, obviously there was a need that was thought of for this referendum. What is the state of play right now for the athletics and activities department of Wausau West? You said it. It's about giving everything that possibly could be needed for the folks that are involved at both the administrative level, coaches and others who are leading departments, and then also for the students involved in those activities. I guess it's hard to put it, but how much of a challenge is there at this point going into the new school year?
Well, I think every this is probably true for every athletic department and activities group is you never have enough funding. You know, and it's finding resources and finding funding to make sure that the coaches and the athletes and the competitors get to just worry about that. Okay. And I think that's obviously been a challenge in my 11 years as a head coach. My budget never went up. And I don't think that part's going to change. So it's just a matter of how can we take what we have and make the most of it. And I'm sure I'm going to learn a ton. Like the biggest thing for me right now is to learn and get to meet people, because as you know, Chad, like relationships matter to me. And that is a big part of why we've been able to have success, because of relationships and getting to know people. And I think, you know, that'll be part of what I want to do when in terms of learning the staff, learning the students, and learning how we can make it as successful as possible.
I want to underline that, and I've heard that before as well. It's not just you, but the idea that the number has stayed the same for the last 11 years, that's why an event like the golf outing is such a vital one, and I've seen it with all these sports. I mean, you talk about it, because especially for a program like Wausau West Hockey, I mean, you have these longer trips because the conference is compressed, because that means, you know, you have, it used to be, I mean, you remember the days where Wisconsin Valley Conference would be about 80-90% of your schedule, so the longest trip would be maybe to Marshfield or whatever it may be, Rapids. And nowadays, with only the conference getting this year, Merrill being out in all the sports totally, it's pretty amazing, frankly, that, you know, that number has not changed in 11 years to show again how imaginative I imagine that a lot of folks have to be right now within these programs.
Well, when to take it a step further, when Pete was head coach, our equipment budget was $1,200 the entire time, and Pete was coach for what, 36 years. That equipment budget hasn't changed. So when you think about that, and just the way that the funding has changed, you have to have these fundraisers, you have to have booster clubs, you have to have, you know, ways for those departments and coaches to manage some of the finance piece of it. That's been the greatest difference. When you go from a head coach or from an assistant coach to a head coach, that's a big part of it is budgeting and planning. And, you know, like on the hockey side, you know, we used to play Northland Pines, we used to play Lakeland, would play those teams. But now with the Division I, Division II model, there's not a reason to play those teams other than because they're close. Because, you know, when it comes to rankings and seedings and all those things, that changes it. So then you go play the Madison Edgewoods, the Eau Claire Norris, the Eau Claire Memorials, and you know, you play those teams because it matters. And university
way
school.
Down there.
Yeah.
Overnights.
And it's an overnight year. This is a heavy travel year for the Warrior Hockey program. So another reason to help them out and get their golf outing numbers up so they can have fun.
We'll get you back and talk a lot more as you get into the job, because I do think it's interesting to learn about that aspect of it. I don't think many people would understand or know that, again, when you think about when Pete Susan started back in the early 70s, that the number is still the same. It blows the mind, to be honest with you, because especially hockey, which is kind of an expensive sport, to be honest with you. So there's still plenty to talk about. Let's wrap it up again by reminding folks, if you do want to help out, and because of that number that stayed the same since the mid-1970s, coming up on Saturday, July 26th, the 17th Annual Warrior Golf Invitational at Pine Valley Golf Course. Again, wausauwesthockey.com. There's a link there for signing up, and of course we talk about, you know, getting a team together, or just, you know, being a golfer that will put together on a team. Maybe I would be part of a team there. So
that'd be great, so, Chad. So, I'd love to see.
So maybe if you folks out there, you can request being on my team because I don't have any other people. Nobody likes me, so it's like I'll be part of a foursome with somebody. So maybe it could be you. But go to wausauwesthockey.com, facebook.com. There's a link there as well. New Wausau West athletic director and longtime hockey coach BJ Brandt. You can hear the entirety of this conversation by going to youtube.com. You can see it as well. And when he came in yesterday, go to youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO page to see the entirety of this interview. More to come here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Shelley Pittman. Wisconsin's top prosecutor Josh Call says a federal judge has stopped what he calls a dangerous move by the Trump administration to gut the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Attorney General Josh Call and 18 other states' attorneys general sued in May after HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. announced a sweeping overhaul of the agency. Call says cuts would have crippled programs like Head Start, maternal health tracking, and disease surveillance at the CDC. On Tuesday, a Rhode Island judge issued a preliminary injunction, blocking the mass layoffs and halting the restructuring, at least for now. Meanwhile, the state legislature is expected to take up the budget today, and some Democrats have expressed frustration that the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, an environmental conservation program that's operated in the state for more than 3.5 decades, was left out of this year's budget. State Rep. Deb Andraka.
We should just fund it. I know we're all getting a ton of mail on Knowles Nelson. It is an environmental program that is the envy of other states.
Democrat from Whitefish Bay at a budget committee meeting on the Department of Natural Resources last Friday.
It's just we want to do it right. We want to make sure all the stakeholders have a good feedback. We had a good hearing. We built from that hearing, and you're going to see a lot more coming up in the future.
That's Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwak, who's also on the budget committee. He's co-author of a separate bill that reauthorizes the conservation program until 2030. The bill also requires the Department of Natural Resources to prioritize projects for property development rather than acquisition and restricts the acquisition of land in excess of $1 million. For WXCO, I'm Shelley Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There's been lots of royal family drama over the last few years, which eventually culminated in a formal estrangement for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, also known as Harry and Meghan, which sounds a lot less sexy. Head of the not-really-necessary royal outfit, King Charles has made it known that he's going to buck tradition and wants the Sussexes to be front and center at his eventual funeral when the time comes. The New York Post reports that Charles has made it clear he would like his son Harry to walk side by side with his brother William, who will then be king. Charles has also stated that he would like Harry and Meghan and their children, Archie and Lilibet, good lord, they actually want people to dislike them, to take part in the lying in state and candlelight vigil portion of the funeral. There has been no comment yet from the Sussexes. I'm not being lazy, the Duchess and Duke are actually referred to by the county name. As the Squire of Marinette, Wisconsin, I can confirm this. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I am very thankful that Melissa Baldoff is willing to come in here once a week and talk about climate issues. It's a subject near and dear to her heart, but she wears many hats as a consultant, as a political strategist, and more. And so we're probably going to spend more time in this segment on a couple of other matters, and then we'll get to a little bit of our climate check and the happy cows that can result from a little bit of creativity when it comes to solar farms that are out there. But Melissa is going to help us first deal with the new budget deal right after we talk about the breaking news of the state Supreme Court throwing out the 1849 law that some had considered to be an abortion ban. Melissa, good morning. What's your take on the state Supreme Court throwing that 1849 law out, kicking it to the curb?
Good morning. It is a good morning. And, you know, this is exactly what, you know, I think so many people wanted to see happen, was a fair and impartial court invalidating a law that, you know, is almost 200 years old and really impacted the rights of women to make our own healthcare decisions. So this is, you know, this is a law that predates us even, you know, just knowing about germs, right? I mean, this is ridiculous that this has been on the books for so long. And it is just an incredible win for the people of this state to have women's rights and freedoms restored by this court.
Well, and on top of that, for all this talk about, you know, originalism and what founders intended and all that, you know, why would we take away from the notion that we have had continuously changing government, continuously changing society for these past 150, 200 years? And what the progressive justices were saying was, look, there have been all of these other changes to abortion law over the years, so many different changes that it basically can't help but overrule the stuff that was written earlier, because again, elections have consequences. You have different people in charge each time. They've made these changes of law. Looking at this, and I have skimmed it as quickly as I could, and I have to say, this AI summary that Tony has helped put together and shared with us is, I think, pretty good. It says the court erased the state's near total criminal abortion ban as a matter of statutory construction, not constitutional law. Abortions may resume within the detailed and sometimes onerous regulatory framework enacted since the 1970s. They note that the legislature retains full authority to tighten or loosen that framework, and the ruling invites renewed legislative deliberation rather than ending the debate. And again, Melissa, it's just a matter of, you know, again, we, with all the respect you can have for your founders, they don't get to tie our hands. We still get to live in the here and now, whether you're talking about muskets versus assault weapons or women's role in society and the rights they have now versus then.
Exactly. You know, this is one of those perfect illustrations of why the, you know, Constitution is a living document. It was always intended to adapt and change with the times, and the framers could ever have conceived of the society we have now. I think if you took, you know, the framers and dropped them in today's society, you know, their heads might explode when they saw, you know, all of the technology we have and where we've come, you know. And that's just the whole point, is that it was always intended to be a document that was changed, was adapted, The only thing that isn't supposed to change is, you know, the core principles and beliefs of, you know, life, liberty, and justice for all. That's the foundation, not, you know, any other specific prescriptive words necessarily, because those can change and should change and have changed. And the abortion law here is, you know, a great example. It's, you know, kind of like the, you know, ship of Theseus, right? And that's, I think, where we've gotten with this, the end of this case, right? Is like where it started, it's changed so much. Is it even that thing that it started as anymore? And it's really not, you know, it's changed so many times what the, you know, what the law is on abortion and what the ruling is. So, you know, I think that this is a great day for women, you know, to make their own healthcare decisions again, even though we know that there are limits there, but, you know, protect things like IVF, which would have been completely at risk here, and make sure that, you know, women and families have the right to make their own decisions about what's best for them.
Yeah. Folks that want to start their own theocracy can do it, you know, someplace else, because right here, every election matters. And yes, we live in a time where the next election is always the most important election. The one that switched control of this state Supreme Court was the most important election of its time. Prior to that, the re-election of Governor Tony Evers was the most important election of its time, which takes us to our next subject, the new state budget deal. Governor Evers worked it out with Republicans who control the legislature. It will be a very bipartisan vote later today in the Assembly and the Senate, with Democrats voting yes and no, Republicans voting yes and no, and people having very strong feelings on depending on what end of the spectrum they're coming from. And I'm not saying all that to say that this is a good deal, Melissa, but again, if Tony Evers had not won election, you know, the way this would look under a Governor Tim Michaels administration is a hell of a lot different.
It absolutely is. And, you know, this isn't the budget that the governor wanted. The budget the governor wanted is the one he proposed. But this is, I think, this is a very good deal considering what the alternative was. And this, I think, shows the incredible commitment of the governor and his staff. I want to make sure to really shout out my former colleagues in the governor's office and throughout state government for their work on this, because, yes, it is the leaders and the principals, you know, making a lot of these deals. But it's also an incredible, incredible amount of work by the staff to get there. And their commitment to this is just unparalleled. But I applaud the governor and our Democratic leader for getting there, because this is, I do believe, the best deal we could get out of this legislature. But at the same time, I respect and value and support the Democrats who are going to vote against this, because it's not what we deserve, and it's not the best budget for the state. It's the best budget we could get right now. But it's the best budget but it's not the best budget for the state. So, you know, I think that they are correct to, you know, hold the line for themselves and for their constituents, and to draw the contrast of, you know, what is going to be in the state budget and what could be and should be in the state budget. And they'll really have a chance to demonstrate that when Democrats are in the majority in, you know, a couple years here with the budget. That's the goal. That's what we think is going to happen. Democrats taking back the Senate and an incredibly good chance to take back the Assembly. And the budget that will pass in 2 years because of that is going to look a whole lot different than this one. And it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of this state. So I think this was, you know, the right choice, even though it's a very difficult one. But Governor Evers has proven time and time again that he is willing to make the difficult choices that need to happen.
We're talking to Melissa Baldoff, and we've covered the legislative matters, the court matters. Now let's get to something that really matters: happy cows. And
I've got to just say, I still take a lot of issue with the whole marketing campaign of happy cows come from California.
Oh, yeah.
From years past. I mean, it's
that's
just
bull, pun intended, by the way. So, yeah, we know where the happy cows are. And,
that's right.
And they're up here. The story actually comes out of Morris, Minnesota, a University of Minnesota campus out there. But for all of the caterwauling about solar farms that says, well, the crops won't be able to grow now and cattle won't be able to graze now, I was always a little dubious of that because, like anything else, you know, you pick your shot. You use what is best for the land if you can. But if you can use a little creativity, then so much the better. And the story out of Minnesota is all about how a solar array, a whole bunch of solar panels, are put on top of basically an electric-powered vehicle, a tractor, a truck, whatever the case may be, that slowly moves along the field so that the cows can graze in the shade underneath the panels. I don't know if I have a particular climate question here. I'm just here to salute good old American ingenuity for getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is such a cool story. I loved when you sent me this. I mean, talk about innovation. And like you said, using what you have. So this is, I think, just incredible to see the fact that, you know, we know that we have seen so many farmers and producers and folks in the ag industry be incredibly committed to climate solutions. And it is just great to see that, you know, you can do both things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, as my husband Joseph Hecky likes to say quite often. And that is that we can do right by the planet and continue doing business in a way that is going to be productive and beneficial. So, you know, I think this is a great example of that. And I hope to see, you know, more. I hope to see some farms in Wisconsin employing this approach, because it seems really neat.
I've never been able to ask Melissa a personal question like this, but she has opened up the door for it. Tell me that Joseph Hecky has used that saying during discussions between the two of you to say, well, two things can be true at once. I didn't do the dishes and I was very busy today.
No, so he definitely uses it in personal conversation with mm-hmm. me and with the kids, but not to get out of his share of
the
household chores.
All right. The solar trailer, by the way, has a capacity of 60 kilowatt hours. The panels are equivalent to about 18 kilowatt hours. It obviously does not have a long extension cord, you know, that's tied to the grid. So you're powering these batteries that can then be used, you know, later on down the road. But again, it's just another way of saying that invention never stops. When I was there was a special legislative committee on biofuels, and there were a lot of people going, oh, ethanol is terrible for the plant, blah, blah, blah. But the research that's being done on biodiesel all across Wisconsin, and so that you need less of a carbon footprint, you know, to grow the corn or the different crops that make biofuels, I was just amazed by it. People wanted this knee-jerk reaction to oppose ethanol. Look at the research and watch how it's evolving and unfolding. And that frankly, given where the Trump administration is, I think that's where we're going to get, you know, the positive stories, is the ongoing role of innovation.
I agree. And that I'm going to use that to tie back to very briefly, and I'll make a point here, I promise, our conversation on the budget. And one of the reasons I think that the budget deal is the right one is because of the investment that is coming into our university system with this mm-hmm. budget. When Republicans initially wanted to do nothing, and now we're going to get a big investment for the UW system. And, that's, you know, right. This story we see is in partnership, the project, with one of the University of Minnesota campuses.
Yep.
And the campus is carbon neutral now, thanks to their advancements in energy production. So perfect. We want to make sure that we can keep innovating on our campuses as well. That's very important to our progress.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and much more. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great 4th.
Thanks, you too.
All right, a local update is next for some of you, and the rest of you will come back here for some final news and notes and a visit with James Kelly. Remember, you can follow me at upnorthnewswi.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Mun Wausau Festival is back July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouthwatering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Mun festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:53. 71 degrees under sunny skies on a beautiful Wednesday morning. Normally would call it a hump day Wednesday, but short work week because of the holiday coming up. Friday, of course, Independence Day.
Yes, but, it is.
Beautiful start, nevertheless, and hopefully the weather will hold up throughout the course of the holiday weekend. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. And Ian, I have not had a chance really to talk much to you as we had Wausau West Athletic Director.
Busy show.
Yeah, BJ Brandt was with us talking in those first three local segments, but we will have your number for the day quiz. We mentioned at the start that you got it right with Coach Brandt.
Yes, I did.
It's going to be another Wausau West hockey number for the day today. See if you can make it 2 out of 2 for those West hockey numbers for the day. So we'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. But
okay, I'll be ready.
Anything else on your mind? What you been up to?
Well, mostly just doing rehearsals for River and Woods' Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I don't have center stage rehearsal this week because it is the 4th of July weekend. So it's nice to take a week off from that. But my dad was able to get some nice fireworks for us to shoot off on the 4th of July.
Be careful, though. Be careful.
Absolutely. Well, it's only the ones that shoot up in the air. Okay. It's the ones that I shoot to the ground. Yeah. I think it's actually illegal to shoot off fireworks in a residential
neighborhood. I think that's probably a good thing.
And people still do it anyway, but...
And you don't want to be scaring the animals. I've read some, even last weekend, of course, Wings Over Wausau, a very popular event, but there were some folks that live in that area by the airport, and noise with the airplanes and all that such got some pets really upset. So you sometimes worry about that. So hopefully the fireworks and the like this weekend won't make too much inconvenience for those pets and their pet owners as well.
And be sure to take care of your pets, and please be careful with the fireworks as well, because just because it's cool, it doesn't mean it's not dangerous.
So you off to a good start? Is everything going okay with the Shakespeare show that you're rehearsing?
It's really coming along very nicely. We're all having a lot of fun with our characters. We're making each other laugh by goofing up our lines. But it's all part of the theater process. It's always nice to get a good laugh, especially when it's a line that you don't understand at first. Actually, just makes it funnier.
Well,
it's coming along very nicely so far.
And what are you up to? What's that number now? What's number shows?
Oh, this is show number 75.
75. That's a milestone one. Those are those are the, you know, we get to 25, 50, 75, and then next it'll be 100. Yeah. So
as soon as I get to 100, I'm going to have a celebration.
I would think you deserve one if you get to 100. That would be outstanding. So, yeah, we'll talk more as we get closer and closer to those shows. Again, so one of those wonderful activities to take part in here in Central Wisconsin, whether on the stage or whether in the audience. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. I wanted to mention as well that coming up this evening, we will have, again, American Legion softball here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Wausau Post 10, who last night defeated Wittenberg-Burnhamwood 12-2 in a game that we had right here on WXCO. They'll look to make it another victory tonight. They will be taking on Marathon's Legion team. So Wausau against Marathon in American Legion softball. I will be in Marathon for that one, starting with the pregame at 6:20 and the first pitch at 6:30. Again, live right here on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up tomorrow morning, we'll have our monthly visit with Christine Daniels from the Good News Project. We're going to get an update on their fundraising. They're trying to continue to grow at the Good News Project. So we'll talk to Christine Daniels about that tomorrow morning during our morning segments here on the WXCO Morning Report. And we'll be wrapping up the work week tomorrow. So, in fact, we may do, we may try to squeeze in two numbers since we won't have a show on Friday.
I really got to be focused then.
And you also, for folks next week, I am away on vacation, so we're going to just be joining Pat Kreitlow for the entirety of the show for next week. So you're gonna get a break from the number for the day, but you can give yourself a number every day if you feel like it. So, but then we'll be back after that.
If I can quiz myself.
All right, well, let's jump in and get today's number for the day.
Yes.
We talked to B.J. Brandt, who spent the last 11 years as the Wausau West head hockey coach, and he had 200 wins. Man. He had succeeded Hall of Famer Pete Souzens.
Okay.
200 wins is a lot, but Pete Souzens as the Wausau West coach, he was at West for 36 years as the head coach. And the number for the day is, how many wins did Pete Souzens have as Wausau West hockey coach? Your choices are 473, 573, 673.
Holy moly.
So which of those three numbers is the number for the day?
What were the choices again?
473, 573, and 673.
You know, I'm going to say, just taking a guess here, but trying to focus. I'm going to say 573. That's a lot of wins, and it seems like it'd be a good number for a Hall of Famer. So I'm going to say 573.
Pete Susan's had 573 wins as Wausau West coach.
Thank goodness I needed that win.
He then added 89 more as the coach of the Central Wisconsin Storm after that. So, I mean, he had an incredible career. That's amazing. Great guy as well. So
good for him.
All right. Is that the first one you got right this week?
Yes, it is.
So 1 for 3, back where you need to be, and we'll try to squeeze 2 in tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a good rest of your Wednesday.
You too, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Jurors are resuming deliberations at Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial a day after they told the judge they'd reached a partial verdict but got stuck on the most serious charge. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
In some ways, it's not surprising that they haven't reached a verdict because racketeering is such a unique crime. Many jurors often don't understand how it applies.
The House could vote today on the new Senate version of President Trump's spending bill. Some Republicans object to the price tag and deep cuts to health care. Speaker Mike Johnson.
I encouraged them to amend it as lightly as possible. They went a little further than many of us would have preferred.
Severe storms forced some lawmakers to change travel plans to get to Washington to vote. South Carolina Republican Russell Fry among them.
Flights up and down the East Coast are being canceled, but I'm not going to chance being stuck in Myrtle Beach in this historic opportunity.
He drove. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.